It's not disturbing me, Tom. Yeah. Everybody's fine. Sounds like it's unanimous. No, it's fine, really. It's no problem. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man that appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord, and Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I've read this chapter often in my own reading of the Bible. I like reading this chapter. It tells me a lot of things. There are many things that I enjoy greatly about this chapter. The first thing is that the children of Israel did not this time cry out unto the Lord. They were oppressed for 40 years. And it is not recorded here in chapter 13 that they cried to the Lord for deliverance. It does not mean that they didn't, but it also means that the writer is telling us something about the Lord. And very often he sends us deliverance when there is no record of our prayer unto him. That the Lord knows our frame, he knows that we need deliverance, oft times even before we realize it or before we ask him. So that ought to be an encouragement to us, that the Lord does send deliverance to his people, even at times when they are silent toward him. So then we have in verses 2 through 14, the appearance of the angel and the ordering of the child. And the ordering of the child has always been very interesting to me, because here we have a woman that has not borne any children, and she's going to bear a son, and immediately the angel of the Lord tells her that she is not to eat wine or grapes. She's not to consume any dried grapes or raisins or anything from the fruit of the vine, because this young man, this little man, is going to be a Nazarite unto God, notice, from the womb. Not from the exit of the womb, but from the womb. That is what the Hebrew tells us. The Hebrew tells us there. So Samson, it is just a foregone conclusion that the Bible recognizes that personhood and life begins at conception. It simply cannot be doubted that the Bible takes that as a granted point without ever arguing it. It is something that the Bible simply asserts, that she has not yet conceived, and yet from this day forward, all during the time of her dealing with the child, and although it is not said here, there is no terminus given to when she can return to drinking wine or eating raisins or grapes. Probably at the end of the weaning of the child is the time that she, according to the commandment of the angel of the Lord here, would be safe or feel like she was still in obedience, going or returning to, you know, raisins and grapes and wine. So we understand here this Nazarite vow. Now, if you haven't read it recently, I would recommend that maybe today, sometime during your Sabbath day readings, to read through Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through about 20. I don't remember if it's 20 or 18 or 19, but it's somewhere in there where the entirety of the ordering of the Nazarite and that vow is detailed, because it's more than not cutting your hair and not drinking wine. Notice also, by the way, and this is very interesting, I think, this is another thing that interests me about this passage, is that what is forbidden to the Nazarite? The drinking of wine or strong drink. What is forbidden here to the wife of Manoah? The same? Actually, she is to avoid also any appearance of that, isn't she? Not only is she to avoid the drinking of wine or strong drink, she's also to avoid anything that comes of the fruit of the vine, fresh grapes or dried raisins. So she is to avoid not only the thing itself, but any appearance that she might give to spoil Samson's vow when he is yet in her womb or at her breast. You see that? Of course, we are told in Scripture not only are we to avoid evil, but we are to avoid the appearance of evil as well. And that trips a lot of Christians up. Am I not free, they say. I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, you may not be doing anything wrong, but it may also not appear that you're not doing anything wrong. Is your desire to honor Christ, or is your desire to assert your freedom? Because many times, in desiring to honor Christ, we will voluntarily limit our freedom. We will avoid things that have perhaps the appearance of evil, or don't have the appearance of righteousness. And we'll avoid things that perhaps there's no wrongdoing in it, but it might have the appearance of evil. So we avoid that as well, because we honor Christ or seek to honor Him in everything that we do. So we have this little man, Samson, yet in uterus, and he is already partaken by God's decree of a Nazarite vow, and so his mother may not eat. So we have another principle here. See, we can draw all kinds of principles out of this chapter. The principle of sacrificing for someone else. The principle of limiting our own freedoms for the sake of another. Paul sets that in the 14th chapter of Romans and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 as you know, limiting the menu, if you will. Because there are all kinds of things that we ought to do as beloved brothers and sisters, one of another, to be of service to one another, where we deny ourselves particular freedoms on behalf of others. Another principle we can draw out of this passage. Another principle we can draw out of the passage, a very astute principle, when we see what the angel says to the Lord, the angel of the Lord says to Manoah's wife, then Manoah comes, and he says, now tell us what we're supposed to do. He says, everything that I already told you. What is the principle that we draw? God is not going to change His word. He doesn't change His commandments. He doesn't tell you one thing one day and then something else the next day. Manoah's wife hears the commands. Then when Manoah and his wife stand before the angel, he says, remember everything that I told the woman already. Let me repeat it for you. And when God reiterates His law, that is what He does. He reiterates it. It doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. It is forever settled in heaven. So then in verse 15, Manoah and his wife want to do the angel a kindness. They want to give him a meal. He's brought them such great news. We're going to have a son. And so they want to offer him a kindness. They want to offer him a meal, a kid, and some cakes, some, you know, bread. It's a meat sandwich they're offering him. And what does he say? I'm not going to receive anything at your hand, but if you will offer anything, offer it to Yahweh, offer it to the Lord. All right then, so they get the kid and the cakes ready, and he sacrifices it upon the rock. And Manoah says, now, when your sayings come to pass, tell us. Tell us what your name is, so we may do you honor. Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is Peleh? It is Peleh. And what is Peleh? Wonderful. Miraculous. This is the same word that is used in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Peleh in counsel. Wonderful in counsel. Peleh. Miraculous. Wonderful. The Greek equivalent might be thaumazo. Amazement. An amazing work. And so what we have here then is the angel saying that his name is Wonderful. And then, just to make sure we understand what the angel is saying, the narrator here, the prophet, says, and when Manoah put the kid upon the rock and lit the flame, the angel of the Lord did Peleh. He did miraculously or wonderfully, in that he ascended in the flame of fire up to heaven, and then they knew that they had been in the presence of Yahweh Himself. The angel of the Lord, which is Yahweh Himself. And of course they did what everyone does when they recognize that they were in the presence of Yahweh. They say, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. I'm going to keel over and die because I have been in the presence of the Holy One, the Mighty One, the Wondrous One, the Peleh, the One who is wonderful, miraculous and mighty. But notice the reasoning. Notice the reasoning of Manoah's wife. She seems to me to be a very, very godly woman. She says, well, let's think this through a second before we just wait for death. Let's think this through. If he wanted us to die, why would he promise that we had a son? If he wanted us to die, why would he have received the offering at our hand? If he wanted us to die, why would he have spoken with us? If he wanted us to die, why did all this happen? Of course, the answer is he doesn't want you to die. And so Manoah is comforted by the wise words of his wife. And then, just as the angel of Yahweh said in verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name... Well, there are two possible translations of Samson's name. One of the translations is they called him Sunshine or Sun. You know, that's the Hebrew word Shemesh. You hear that? Simson, Shimshon, Shemesh. You hear that? They called him Sunny or Sunshine. Well, that would have been a fitting name for the only child. Or it could be that they named him the strong and daring one, the fruitful one from Shamo. It could be that as well. I don't favor one or the other because, first of all, Samson was indeed a bright spot, at least for a time, to his mother and father. But also, he was that fruitful and resourceful one, that daring one, as he proved to be throughout the rest of his life, didn't he? All right. Notice also, and we close the chapter with this, that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. I think, if I can take just another 30 seconds here, if you read some of the older commentaries in the book of Judges, for instance, I've been reading Andrew Fawcett from the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown fame. Andrew Fawcett. Some of the older commentators tend to be, well, let me put it this way. The newer commentators, they tend to maximize Samson's faults or the faults of the judges. Some of the older commentators, however, not overlook the faults, but actually interpret the passages kind of differently so that we have room here for the Spirit of the Lord moving upon Samson. There are some things that Samson does in this next chapter, Lord willing, we'll see it in the next service, that can be interpreted one of two ways. Either Samson is pressing outside of where he should go, or we see, as it is here in verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord moving him to do certain things that might not be lawful for other folks to do, but here the Spirit of the Lord is moving him in particular directions because there is this confrontation that is brewing and deliverance from the Philistines. So it is a very interesting interplay there between worldviews, if you will, between Samson's views, I'm sorry, between the commentators' views of what Samson is doing. And we'll talk about those things. It's going to be very important, though, for you to understand the Nazarite vow, because we will see that point by point, Samson tends to go contrary to that Nazarite vow, and yet the Lord delivers him. Let's stand and continue.